Well, we've been so inspired by some thoughts this week, and we would sure like the Lord to inspire it to the congregation here. I believe it could be a blessing to us. You know, the scripture tells us, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And that's in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You know, I think sometimes we don't realize the power of the things God tells us to do. We wrote on the board the power of thanksgiving. And this morning, I want to look a little bit in a few places here about how I believe thanksgiving worked into some things that happened. In Mark the 8th chapter, in the first verse, we find a story of Jesus when he was teaching the multitude, and it was in, I believe this was in a desert place. It was a place away from the general populace. Excuse me. And we find the Lord gave us a little example here, and I would like to take it to us and read several others about like it. But it begins, Mark 8:1, "In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far." They've already been several days without eating. Here was a large group, at least 4,000 people. I don't know if they were just counting men or counting everyone, but there was at least 4,000 here, it says. "And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they had that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away." You know, I want to look here at this little... This wasn't a parable. This is something that happened. It's an account where there were several thousand hungry people, and they didn't have anything to eat. And Jesus asked, well, what do you have? Well, we've got 7 loaves and a few little fish. That's what we've got. And Jesus did something really amazing. He just took what they had and he blessed it. He prayed and he gave thanks for what they had. He gave thanks. Now, I want to tell you what his father did. When he did that, the Lord blessed that. And that began to just multiply. And they began, he said, you tell them all to sit down. And you know, before, now, these disciples were like, there's 7 loaves. And that's what we have. And now, I don't know if this one, I didn't look that up to see if this was before the other time Jesus did this, because he did it at least twice. And they had to be thinking, what's going, you know, this is going to be pretty amazing here. The Lord just gave thanks for what there was. These people were hungry, and this wasn't even a dab. They could not even each have a little pinch, hardly. There was not a bite, a piece. But the Lord gave thanks for what they had. Folks, I want to encourage us this morning. I believe that Jesus set a pattern here that if we can if we can do what Jesus did, I believe Jesus will do what he did for these people for us. And I say that because I've seen it happen. I want to tell you this morning, folks, we serve the Lord. We serve the Lord God of heaven. Now, there could have been mixed reactions here. These people could have started complaining. We've been out here all this time, and now we've got to travel back home. And they could have looked at their circumstances, and they could have begun that. In the wilderness, they did that. And even when God worked miracle after miracle, they still complained. We can do that too. And we're prone to do that, aren't we? But I'll tell you what Jesus did. He had perfect confidence that God was going to do what they needed here. And so he took what they had. And folks, if this little, whatever this fellow was that had this, could have just took it to himself and said, no, I prepared. The rest of you didn't prepare. But you know what? This guy gave it to the Lord. You know what? Let's just have that kind of faith in our life. Lord, I'm going to give you what is yours. What I need to give you and what I should give you, I'm going to give you. I'm going to even give you thanks before you do anything. I'm going to give you thanks because I know you're going to take care of my needs. Does it really work this way? Can it work this way for us, or was this just for Jesus? Or is Jesus with us every day? I believe he is. And you know what I've watched and seen through a number of years? I've watched the Lord work not only in our life, and I've seen it in our life over and over and over, and I've seen it in your lives too. I've seen the Lord do these things, folks. But I want to tell you, if we go to complaining rather than giving thanks, we're just cutting off the hand of God. The Lord wants us to take what we have. What do we have? Well, let's give that to the Lord. What little gift do we have from the Lord? This one had a few fish and some loaves of bread. That's all. And what is that among so many? One of the places says, what is that among so many? You know what happened, though? These folks ate. And then there was 7 baskets left over. Does God work that way? Does he work that way nowadays? Over and over, folks. Over and over. Give him what you have. So we look at life and we look at the bigness of it, at the greatness of, and the enormity of all those things, and we see it. And we don't know what we're going to do. And we don't know how we're going to overcome certain situations and all. Folks, give what you have to the Lord and thank him for it. And I want to tell you something. God does the blessing. Our job is to give. Give of ourself to him and let him begin to bless this morning. Isn't there a name of God? You ever looked up the names of God? There's a bunch of them. Jehovah Jireh is one of them. It means the Lord will provide. Isn't that beautiful this morning? You know what the Lord is glorified in? He's glorified in people that love him, that obey him, and that trust him. That the world sees that they're not discomforted by what's going on. Folks, we don't know what's going to go on in the world around us. It's surprising. It's amazing sometimes. I want to tell you what we do know. We can give thanks to God. You have shoes on your feet this morning? Probably all of us here do. You have clothes today? Yeah, we've all got clothes. Did you eat breakfast? Probably did if you wanted to. You know what? Then we had enough today, didn't we? We had enough this morning. And probably most of us feel like we're going to have some lunch too, aren't we? We have enough. And we can give thanks for that. I want to encourage us today. I really believe that God looks on this. Could we get up this morning? Thank him for that. Could we come to service? I want to tell you, when I come to service nowadays, I don't take it so much for granted anymore. Because we might not get to have service next week. Unless God blesses us. So we trust in Him to do that. Lord, we need Your blessing. Lord, we thank You that we can come out this morning. Sometimes your body starts acting like it shouldn't. And you wish it was different. And it's just not acting right at all. You know what? Thank God you could get up this morning. I decided I'm going to thank God for every good thing that I have. Every good moment that I have, I'm going to thank Him. Every moment that I'm not in pain, I'm going to thank Him. Every moment that He supplies my needs, I'm going to thank Him. And you know what I believe? He's going to take care of the rest. He is, isn't He? I've seen people, folks, look like the end of their way. Wheelchair. Sister Sorrel's one of them. You know, here's the end of it. Oh, no. Folks, we're dealing with the Lord. Let's give Him thanks for what we have. Before you know it, we might be up and going again. They might have said you're going to be in the wheelchair the rest of your life. Not necessarily. We have one here that 5 years or so in the wheelchair, and now 5 years or so without, or whatever it's been. You know what? God does those things, doesn't He? Yeah. Oh, He pours out upon us, but let's thank Him. This is a day, a week, and I'm so glad for it, of Thanksgiving. We, the country, and I thank God, they've set aside a day every year of Thanksgiving to give thanks to God. That's what it was set aside for. Now, folks, this morning, I believe that there's a lot of power in Thanksgiving this morning. I believe Jesus saw the insufficiency of those 7 loaves. I think He saw. He was a realist. Jesus knew they weren't going to feed hardly anybody. I think He knew those fish were not sufficient. But I think He was looking past that, don't you? And He was looking at a sufficiency that only God can give. And He did. What are you looking at this morning? What are we looking at? We're people. Folks, we've all been through some of the same battles, haven't we? We know what it's like to look at a battle and feel like complaining. We all look at those things, don't we? I want to tell you something. Let's give the sacrifice of Thanksgiving this morning. Let's give that to the Lord that He deserves. Because is He Jehovah Jireh or not? I believe He is. I believe He is this morning. It's part of who God is. I believe Thanksgiving contains faith in it, doesn't it? It contains gratefulness this morning. Those are sacrifices sometimes that in a world all around us, folks, they can have millions and be complaining like everything about what's going on around us. Folks, it happens all the time, but I want to tell you, we can have nothing and yet have everything. And when I say nothing, we've all got plenty, or at least enough. You know, back here in 2 Chronicles 20, I want to look at an Old Testament story. 20 and verse 20 of 2 Chronicles. We find here it says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe His prophets, so shall you prosper.' And when he had consulted with the people..." Now let's take in what this story is talking about. Because the children of Moab and Ammon and I think Seir and maybe others had come down against Israel. And they had come down to fight against them. And it struck great fear in Jehoshaphat's heart. Just like things strike great fear in our hearts when we hear them sometimes. And I will tell you what Jehoshaphat did. He went and he went before the Lord with what there was there. And God gave a word to him. And we depend on that, don't we? We depend on the Lord working with us in these things. But it says here in 20, I wanted to read 14 and 15 first. I knew I was missing a couple. Then said Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." Now folks, this morning I want to remind us, the battle's not ours. It's not ours. It's the Lord's. Let's believe that this morning. You'll have peace if you can believe that the battle is the Lord's. And so in verse 20, we'll go on and read, "Believe, hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. Now who ever heard of a battle like that? Who ever turned on one another? I want to tell you, when God gets in the mix, folks, things happen differently. And so, before anything happened, while the battle was still before them, while they were still subject to being totally smitten because of this outnumbered multitude and all that was there, you know what God began to do? After they sang praises to the Lord. Folks, I really believe in this. I really believe in giving thanks to God for every good thing we have. Why should we stop and concentrate on what we don't have? Why should we stop and concentrate on the battle that we have when the Lord has done so many good things? When we know that Jehovah Jireh is going to take care of my future too, why not thank him now? I will tell you, I have found many times, because maybe I'm a little weaker than some in myself when it comes to preaching and things especially. But I will tell you, I have come many times, "Lord, I need a word from you. The time is drawing nigh, and I don't have everything I need, or maybe very little of what I need. Lord, I need some help." You ever been there? I want to tell you something. It's a very frightening place, okay? But I have found that in that place, I begin to thank God. "Lord, you have never failed me yet. And I know you won't fail me now. And I want to thank you now for what you're going to give me. Through my fears, through my need, I'm going to thank you now." Folks, we can do that. We can thank the Lord for the supply and the provision that he's going to give before we see one bit of it. We can thank the Lord for the victory in battles before we ever get there. Because, folks, the battle, if we let the Lord fight for us, the battle is not ours. It is his. And I want to encourage us this morning to let the Lord do his work. Because I really believe, folks, there isn't anything like God. Go into this big battle, what are you going to do? Take 300 lanterns and some trumpets? You going to win a battle like that? God can. Send them all home. Send them home. You have too many people. Ah, you got 20,000 or 22,000, whatever. Send more of them home. Here, go down to the creek and drink this way. When he's left, there's 300. That's the way God works. He said, if you win in that way, they'll think they did it. They'll be boasting in themselves. Look who we are. I'll tell you what, did you see Mr. So-and-so? Did you see him fighting? No. We had 300 lanterns, 300 trumpets, and we blew them. And you wouldn't believe what God did. Folks, God loves that. He loves to be real in our lives. Is this true, or is this just something that we're thinking? Folks, I want to tell you, I have seen it. It is true over and over and over and over. It is always true this morning. I believe that. Let's let the Lord be true. And our sufferings, let them be like Paul said. They're not worthy to be compared. They're not worthy to be compared. Now, yeah, I was beaten with rods 5 times. And yes, I was stoned. And yes, I was suffered shipwreck 3 times and all these things. But you know what? That's not worthy to be compared. That's the way Paul saw it. I want to read a little of Paul's writings here in Philippians, the 4th chapter. Because Paul was a man of God. And he got to know the Lord. And folks, I want to tell you something. You can sit down this week and look at what you don't have and be all down. Or you can praise the Lord for what He's given. That's something God wants to give us. It's a gift of God. In Philippians 4 and 11, listen to what Paul says here. I'm going to bounce around in Philippians a little bit for a few minutes. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Now, Paul wrote the Philippian letter. You know where he wrote it from? From Rome. You know why he was in Rome? Because he was a prisoner. And you know what he said to us here? Blessed things in the Philippian letter. He wrote here, I have learned whatsoever, in whatever state I'm in. I can be in jail. I can be out there preaching. I can be enjoying the greatest thing, or I can be in the deeps. But I've learned that whatever state I am, to be content in that state. I want to tell you something that glorifies God, folks. That's when we are content. Oh, let's let the Lord this week, let's let Him have our thanksgiving. Let's let Him have that glorifies God this week. I really believe there's a great power in that. There's a great power in conviction on others. Because folks, if they see us only down in the mind all the time about things we're worried about, folks, that hurts. That hurts what God wants to do. And I want to encourage us to ask God to turn our hearts that we can constantly be singing His praises. Now, you know, we don't always have to feel it to say it, do we? We can tell others about what God has done. We can give thanks without feeling like we're on the mountaintop. Is that being hypocritical? Not at all. It's giving God glory. And the Lord wants to know. It's a sacrifice, yes. It's a sacrifice. Now, Paul said in verse 6 and 7 here, Philippians 4, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I believe that what Brother Ossus used to say, folks, sometimes we live below our privileges. I believe we do. We could have more peace than we have sometimes, can't we? Thank the Lord this morning. Let's don't allow ourselves to be careful, in other words, worried all the time. Philippians 1 and verse 2, listen to what Paul says here. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. You know what I don't find in the Philippian letter? I don't find him telling them how bad he feels about being a prisoner. I don't hear any of that. But he tells them about what kind of concern he has for them. I pray for you all the time. You're in my heart. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds or in my imprisonment, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me, he does talk about it a little bit, the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace, in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You know what? Because they saw Paul's life, that he himself suffered just as much more than any of the rest of them. And yet, he continually proclaimed the gospel, continually encouraged other people. Folks, we can put our eyes where we want. And we've all heard the illustration many times. Is the glass of water half empty or is it half full? We can thank God for a half full glass, or we can complain that it's not all the way full. And when it runs out, you know what? There'll be some more. We have to believe that this morning. Oh, we want the Lord to be glorified this week, and we want our souls to be lifted up. Folks, the Lord is the one that takes care of us. He is our Jehovah Jireh. And many other things to us too. We can believe that. Let's take hold and let's get our fingers around the promises of God. And let's do the things that God would have us do. Let's give the sacrifices He would have us to sacrifice. Listen to Hebrews 13 and 15. It says, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. Now our lips can give thanks or they can give complaints, can't they? Paul was in a place to complain. I would say he suffered some things that would make many complain. But I'll tell you, we don't find that anywhere in Paul's writings. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Let's just give the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to the Lord this week. Let's take a little time and maybe talk a little about what God has done for us. Let's talk about the fact that though there are many today that don't have this big spread, or they're not even able to be together, thank God that we can. We don't boast in that, but thank God. Thank you, Lord, for what I have today. Tomorrow, I'll thank you for what you supply for me tomorrow. It may not be as much as today, but it'll be enough. It'll be enough. You know, in Psalms 50 and 23, the scripture says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, And to him that ordereth this conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. I want you to notice what it says. That first we glorify God. And it says, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. But it doesn't stop there. To him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So who's he going to show the salvation of God to? Who's he going to show the deliverances, the blessings of the Lord to? To those that order their conversation aright. Isn't that beautiful this morning? Oh Lord, let my heart, let me not turn into anything less than one that gives thanks to your name and that gives praise to your name. Right up above that in the 14th and 15th verses, it says offer, offer. Now we read about the offering, the sacrifice of thanksgiving. He says, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. I'll deliver you, and you're going to glorify me then. And I'm going to know you're going to glorify me because you did before I delivered you. You know, the Lord's going to do that, isn't he? Thank you, Lord, that we can worship here this morning. I heard these songs this morning, and I almost jumped up and testified, but I thought, I got to get up and take prayer requests. Folks, these songs are rich, aren't they? Don't they strike a note within our heart? Oh, don't they strike something deep within? I want to tell you, I thank the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord, I've got shoes on my feet, clothes on my back. The food we eat, the freedoms we have. Thank you that I have strength for this day. I'm thankful for my friends. I feel like I'm rich in friends. Folks, I don't know how you feel, but we've got friends here. Friend cares about one another. Oh, they might tell me what I need to hear sometimes. That's all right. Friends do that too, don't they? And y'all are very kind to me. But I will say this, folks, thank the Lord for friends. You know how many in the world don't seem to have a friend? I've talked to people that will say, I have no friends. I want to tell you right now, there isn't anybody here that doesn't have any friends. Now, whether we recognize it or not might be a different thing, but we all have friends here this morning. Thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for the people of God, for their voices. I thank the Lord for the songs that we sing. The Lord gave inspiration. I thank the Lord that we can give Him our life. I thank God for Jesus. He cared about me. He not only died for me, He came looking for me. And you, this morning, thank the Lord for those things. Oh, when the Lord said to pray, hallowed be thy name, folks, let's let it be from our hearts. Oh, hallowed be thy name, Lord. I want to read another little story over here in Luke, just a few verses. But it's something that I love, this story about the road to Emmaus and the disciples. Luke 24:13. You know, they were walking along after being so disappointed, so disillusioned. We thought it was He that was going to deliver Israel, and we had our hopes in Him, and now our hopes are dashed and all this. But Jesus come along and started walking with them. You ever had Jesus come along and start walking with you when your hopes were dashed? I have. You ever had Him come along and minister? Somebody said a song one time, pick them up when they were at a low, low point in their life. You ever had Jesus do that? And so they were walking along, and they said, when they realized it was the Lord, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us? They didn't recognize it as the Lord, but didn't our hearts burn? Wasn't there something there that was amazing? Oh, yes. And listen to this, Luke 24:30. I love this little couple of verses here. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. Do you know, when we sit down to eat, that's what Jesus did. He took those 7 loaves and those few fish and he blessed it. He gave thanks for it. And he asked God to bless it. You know, this morning, when we give thanks for our food, I want to tell you, I used to kind of be embarrassed. And now I love to do that. I'm sorry, I just do. I love to give thanks for my food. God gave me food again today. Folks, we can live the kind of life we want. We can live in the humdrum if we want to, or we can give thanks for every good thing. Joseph was telling me, Brother Joseph Gillenbeck, was telling me about his grandpa. He was reading in his diary after he had maybe passed by that time, and he was writing down, oh, he was talking about the luscious grapefruit he had that morning. You know why? Might not have been that the grapefruit was the best he ever had, but he lived in a state of thanksgiving. And it was powerful. And he enjoyed that. And God wants us to enjoy things. Does he? Oh, yes, he does. Oh, Lord, help us today. I want to say just a few things about where we're at today. In 2 Timothy 3 and 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days, perilous times." Peril is danger. Dangerous times are going to come. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." You know, all these things just kind of go together. We got to watch it, don't we? That the devil don't slip any of this in on us. There's going to be in the last days, people are not going to be the least bit thankful. And they're not, are they? We find them all around. They're sitting in luxury and complaining as if they don't have anything. I can't figure that out. Except that I know, just like we just, they don't have God. That's the problem. But we do, folks. Oh, thank the Lord this morning. We have a reason to be thankful. 1 Corinthians 10 and 10 and 11. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer." Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples or examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Do you know this morning, God doesn't take well to murmuring. It don't bring the blessing. In fact, these people began to murmur. And when they began to murmur, they began to sin against God. They began to, one time, they began to murmur, "Moses, we don't know what's happened to Moses." And what happened? That unthankfulness began to work. And in the end, it brought them pain, didn't it? They made a calf, golden calves. Here, these are the ones that brought us up out of Egypt. Folks, we could have been thankful. They could have been thankful. They could have said, "God has worked for us. I don't know where Moses is, but I'll tell you one thing. I know where God is. He's going to help us." Could have done that, but they didn't. Romans 1 and 21, read that chapter sometime, folks. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." You see, when we're not thankful, we're tempted to turn to other things. And in the end, it brings sin to us. In the beginning, it starts with a little complaining, but it gets bigger. And then it opens a door. Now, that can work the other way, too, to where we can begin to thank God. And it can begin to bless our lives until we can sit down to a grapefruit and just glory in that. "God, thank you. What amazing thing you made here. Full of vitality and life. I want to tell you, the Lord, the Lord is like that. Paul, when he was on that ship where he was shipwrecked, and those men fasted for 14 days. They never saw, they probably never had seen any kind of a storm like that before. The angel visited Paul, and he took food before them. And it says he gave thanks. And then he distributed it. And he told them, don't worry. The angel of the Lord stood before me tonight. Last night. You know what? It says, well, then they were all of good cheer. That's Acts 27:36. Then were they all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. Oh, listen. Let's let these things sink down into our hearts. Let's become more this way. I think it'll bless us. And this week, being Thanksgiving, is a good time to just readjust the knobs a little bit. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the food I do have. Thank you for what I do have. Thank you I can get up today. Thank you that, Lord, for what you have given. And one more scripture. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Folks, that's some good advice from Paul, isn't it? From the Holy Spirit through Paul. And be ye thankful. Let's set our eyes on the right things. When the devil says you can't, let's glorify God. And say, I can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When the devil says, you'll never make it, let's just square in the eye, get behind me. My God can take me through. And I'm going to trust Him to do that. Oh, this week, let's let it be a time of special where the strings of our heart kind of cut loose a little bit, and sing praises to the Lord. You pray for me.